Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Wednesday morning. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Brian Callahan just wrapped up his press conference. And Joe, you got some problems with the Nashville media.
Well, first of all, someone asked, like, why isn't Stilley there to ask the Will Levis question? Doesn't sound like Stilley got up to go out there. But I think that that's a question that someone probably should have asked if they asked about, you know his conversation with Levis after the surgery. But I think it's worth a doubling back of, given what the public has now seen about the severity of the injury, how does that add up with all of the other things that we've seen, including him playing? He was fine. He was maybe not going to have it. Can you shed any light on that? Can you help us at all with that? But my biggest criticism is, it doesn't have to be the first question. I mean, like, I think Teresa's first question was fine. You know, it's like him bouncing back. Well, someone needs to ask a question. What was your analysis of his day yesterday?
Right.
We all analyzed everything. I was out there. I can tell you Cam Ward was bad. Any media person out there can tell you Cam Ward was bad, and here's what happened in the plays and all that. Well, the head coach knows more than we do, so I'd like to hear the head coach actually go through the picks and give us the analysis actually on this one, because, again, I thought on one of the picks, it looked like Chig did the wrong thing. That wouldn't have been on Cam Ward. Like, just tell us what happened yesterday. No one asked that question. What the hell, Titans media?
Yeah, got to get on Kuharski about it. What are you doing out there, PK?
Well, yeah, I will. But there are a lot of other people.
There are.
Like, that to me is like, that's like necessary. If I'm writing about the Titans and writing about Cam Ward and trying to keep up with everything that's going on, the ups and downs, that's a necessary part of it is, okay. And I think this is maybe a problem with doing the presser like the day after, because I think if it would have been a presser after practice like it used to be, that's probably like, okay. What,
it's probably the first thing.
But it still should be the first thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's still, like, the next day, I understand, like, you've already written all your stories about Cam Ward. That's probably part of it. Like, okay, we're moving on to whatever happens today. But still, for the record, what is the analysis of those plays? Like, what actually happened from the coach? And Callahan's great at that stuff, too,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah.
Like, Vrabel, you could ask that question, be like, well, we're all trying to be better or whatever. He's going to tell you some BS answer. Brian Callahan will actually give you a good answer, but no one gave him the opportunity.
We'll see what happens if that comes up again. Maybe he's bad again today and you can get better. What are you doing out there? Brian, what's the film say tomorrow or Thursday?
Or maybe he's great
about
today, and then tomorrow you get the full explanation of all the good things. But like, let's use Brian Callahan and his expertise to help inform the fan base, because he actually is willing to do that.
There's something that Callahan said that frankly just really irritates me. Yeah, we'll get into that coming up here in just a few minutes at 8:15. Let's go rapid fire for some Titans thoughts on the text line. Logan says, why is nobody asking him about the energy at practice? D-Mace has expressed concerns with it. So has Willie and Jared. So obviously something is going on. What do you make of – there have been a couple of practices that they've had where people have talked about maybe a lack of energy. I remember really the first training camp practice, that was the talking point. D-Mace brought that up. And Brian Callahan didn't seem to agree with it. They had a great day out there today. So, I don't know, maybe different people view it differently, but are you concerned by, apparently, according to people who've been there, maybe a lack of energy at some of these practices?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've heard the talk about it. I don't know. Is that a daily question?
I don't think so.
You know, I don't know. To me, more specific, you get so many – that's the thing, Logan. I mean, think about it this way. There are some people – there today who didn't get a chance to ask a question. Usually, if you really want to ask a question, you can. But for the most part, you're probably getting one. I'm not wasting my question on the energy at practice. You know? I guess it's an interesting thing to talk about and discuss. I'm out there yesterday, and it just looked like an NFL practice. I suppose you could say, well, this is the first day of pad. You should be, I don't know. Believe me, Jeff Simmons, he was kicking people's butts, and he was talking trash to them, okay? So it didn't look all that different to me from an NFL practice. I definitely defer to D-Mace on things like that for sure. I mean, he has been there for years and years. But I don't know. I think that might be a little overrated. We'll see. I mean, look, when they take on other teams, you would think that energy will be high, yep. Intensity will be high. I guess if they take on
– there's no fight yesterday. That's
well,
good.
Yeah. So some people might say, but is it good? You need a little bit of that. Well, when they take on another team, if there's nothing even remotely approaching a fight, maybe then you wonder, like, you know, is this – are the Titans low T?
Yeah.
Titans, the low T on the Titans. Low Titans.
What's going on out there? Yeah. Cameron. No word on if it's Cameron or Cam Ward on the text line, but Cameron on the text line says, I'm sure having on pads of going against future Hall of Famer Dan Moore is the reason Femi Oladejo didn't look good. Or could it possibly be that the Titans drafted a guy who's never rushed the quarterback to be a pass rusher? Such a bad pick. Like, as a fourth rounder, fine. But as a high second rounder, hell no. That's what Cameron says on the text line.
Really quick, I saw this, and I got the draft list out again. So, a couple things. One, he didn't go at some wildly different spot from where he was projected. He was, I think, for the most part, he was a second or third round grade. So, maybe, you know, a little bit higher. He goes, what pick was it, 52? Is that right? 52. But, look – I mean, obviously, some guys. Nick Skirton from Texas A&M went the pick before. JTT from Ohio State went a few picks before that. Ezeraku from Boston College a few picks before that. I don't know. Maybe they would have taken one of those guys. Also, after Oladejo, I mean, you got Trey Harris from Ole Miss. You could have gone there instead of going edge. Jack Best from TCU. You yep. could have gone there. You know, there were some receivers who went. You know, you later you got Harold Fant – or no, I'm sorry, that's – although, actually, you could make a case for Harold Fant and Jr. I think he's pretty freaking good for yep. Bowling Green. Ashton Jalal from Louisville. Landon Jackson from Arkansas. There's yep. a guy. He went 20 picks later. Jordan Birch from Oregon. So, we're going to be watching. I do think that pick for this front office is going to end up being a very important pick to kind of tell us about these guys and their ability to – you know, to evaluate players and evaluate, obviously it's a project, but they obviously also think the ceiling's high. It's going to have to prove to be high.
Byron says, I think it would be worth wasting your one question to ask if the Titans have low T.
Brian, you guys have low T?
Hey,
do you fix that?
Are you the Tennessee Titans or the Tennessee Itans? Do you have any tea at all?
On that note, there was one thing that Brian Callahan said in that press conference that frankly bothers me. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Tune in for player interviews and the latest updates on the Titans training camp as the team preps for the 2025 season. Coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero and 12 South. And Parman Energy Group. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. The Vols opening fall camp today. We'll get into some of that a little bit later this hour. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. There was something that Brian Callahan said in his press conference as it related to Cam Ward's struggles yesterday that I heard a lot of last year that in actuality – did not play out in the Titans' favor last year, and that, frankly, I don't really want to hear much more of from Brian Callahan as we move forward here. Here's what Brian Callahan had to say just a few minutes ago regarding Cam Ward and the Titans' defense.
Talk about the duress that Cam was under yesterday. How much of that is kind of preset by design to make sure that he's prepared for those situations and he can process faster after he sees it and watches the film?
That's part of it, yeah. We've done quite a bit more in the early portions of camp maybe than last year of some third down work, you know, and playing against an Arch defense can be really challenging. They got all the different fronts and pressures, and there's a lot of information, a lot of things you have to handle. They do a really good job disguising coverages and disguising blitzes, so it's going to advance Cam's learning. He's going to be stressed a bit early on as he gets more and more comfortable. And as he sees all these looks and manages the process, he gets better every time he goes out there. So some of it's by design. We're putting him in some really hard spots in third down periods for sure, so we can continue to see some growth and put him in the fire a little bit.
So that was Callahan on the defense and the looks that Cam Ward was getting yesterday. And it's not the first time he's talked about this with Denard Wilson's defense. And it's been some version, Joe, of, well, Denard's defense can be really challenging because they present a lot of different looks, and there's a lot of blitzes that they can bring, and there's a lot of different things you have to account for if you're a quarterback, which, by the way, I'm sure is true. I'm sure there's a lot of things that Denard Wilson can do with his defense. But is that not the case for every defense in the NFL? Didn't we hear a lot of that last year in training camp of, well, you know, the offense struggled today, but Denard's defense is pretty challenging, giving us a good look. And it's like, I mean, I heard Matt LaFleur talking yesterday about the looks the Packers were getting on the offensive side of the ball. I was like, our defense does a really good job of giving us some looks out there. And it's like, yeah, it's the NFL. They do. I don't really want to hear about, well, the reason the quarterback and the offense is struggling is because the defense is giving you some really good looks, and they're really difficult to deal with. Newsflash, buddy. It's the NFL. Every team has those looks. It's comes with the territory.
You know, here's the thing, guys, about our quarterback's good performance today. You know, our defense just is really very vanilla, yeah. And they just don't do much. They have a couple blitzes. It's very simplistic. It's very easy to diagnose. So, I mean, that's basically why our offense is doing well. You know, the one camp, Robbie, that I would, if I heard this from, and I would actually believe it, because people around the NFL is Brian Flores' defenses. Because that stuff, some of the stuff he does is so chaotic and like hard to like track and hard to find trends in, which some often works in their favor. Sometimes they get crushed too. Back to the end of the regular season. But like there's an example of a defense that is, I think, a different level of unique. But yeah, this Denard Wilson's defense, there are other – the exact same system as in other places around the NFL. No question they do different pressures and all that stuff, but it is one of
– By the way, their defense kind of sucked last year, you know?
Yeah.
And I understand it's year two for everybody, and just because the coaching staff looked like they were outmatched at times last year doesn't necessarily mean that's what it's going to be this year, and Denard Wilson's going to be in year two as the DC, just like Callahan's in year two as a head coach. So maybe there's a dramatic level of improvement that has happened and is coming with those guys. But, like, you know, Denard's defense, I know if you want to go by strictly yardage total, we've talked about this. Like, you can look at some stats last year and be like, well, Titans defense was okay. If you watched the Titans defense play last year, they were not good. It was not a good,
not good
defensive team. So, like, I don't really want to hear about, just the defense we're going up against is just so challenging because of what Denard does out there. Again, it sounded to me when he started saying that a little bit like what we heard at times last year on the Levis front of, well, the defense giving us some pretty good looks out there, so the offense is having to adjust to that. It's like, that's the NFL, baby. They got to adjust to all these defenses.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those talking points that, again, I'm everywhere around the NFL or college football right now. It's like, I mean, chip on your shoulder is like, can we please? This is one of the probably underrated, like, all across the board talking points of an NFL camp.
Yeah.
You know, and like Dennis said, yeah. So Denard's defense is only hard for Titans quarterbacks somehow. Yeah. Now, look, last year they had some good performances. They gave some quarterbacks some issues, but not nearly enough. Not nearly enough.
No, and again, like I'm not trying to take a shot at Denard Wilson here because I liked the hire when it was made. You know, nothing went great for the Titans last year, so I'm not going to single out Denard Wilson on that. I'm interested to see what that defense looks like in year two. I look at the personnel on the defense, and I wonder if Denard Wilson's got enough tools in the toolkit to actually put together a competitive defense out there. Because if you can't rush the passer, that's going to be a really difficult thing to do. But that's kind of its own separate conversation. Cam Ward is an NFL quarterback now. He's in the NFL. He's a number one overall pick. And I'm not saying that you have to be unrealistic with his expectations. But I don't really care about, like, all the hard looks he's getting from defenses. Like, that's what it is. If he's going to play, that's what he's going to have to deal with. So I don't really want to hear that, well, you know, we threw the kitchen sink at him yesterday. It's like, well, yeah, it's playing quarterback in the NFL. That's what you got to deal with.
And look, I brought it up early when I was talking about it, and that was a question from Terry McCormick. So, you know, that is like media thinking that too. I will say with the nuance of this situation, I don't think every single day in practice will be the same as what he saw yesterday.
I agree.
So that's worth keeping in mind. And it will be interesting today to see if there's a little bit of scale. Like Robert says, like Jeff Fisher did the opposite with Goff when he was a rookie. Like, take it easy. I think there's a push-pull there with most coaches, which is, okay, let's see. Let's crank it up a little bit, and let's see how he handles that. Okay, today let's go ahead and let him, you know, get some. Let's let him have a little easier time, get the confidence back. Again, I don't know. Some coaches may believe, no, this is what it's going to be on game day. So let's just do that until he gets to that point. I do think that the confidence thing and all that. It's an interesting balance, but of course it's a very overplayed hand in general.
I mean, I think I, on that standpoint, would tend to align myself more to the, hey, let's do in practice what you're going to see in the game. And I understand confidence is part of it, and you don't want to ruin a guy's confidence. From what I've seen of Cam Ward, I think it's going to be pretty hard to ruin his confidence.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, like, I'd probably just like to see him keep throwing things at him and see if he can adjust and improve. Like, isn't that what training camp's about? Let's figure some things out here and improve.
Yeah, I think I do. I think for the most part, I agree, and I think that he's definitely tough-minded. And look, this is where, as much as it's been talked about to death at this point, this is, I think, where his path probably serves him well, right? As compared to some people who basically are just, you're great, everything's success all the way through. So, I feel like sometimes it is good for someone to see, like, you know, like to take some BP and just, that's what it feels like to hit the ball again, you know, when you're in a 2-for-28 stretch or whatever. I mean, there's some of that too. Do I need to get into this thing with this guy? I probably shouldn't even get into this, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's just
we're going to get into it.
So Don from East Franklin. Is East Franklin a thing?
No.
East Franklin. So I'm already questioning this. Now I'm looking at the numbers. That Big Joe's number. Nice. It's not Big Joe's number.
I mean,
not trolling me.
There is a south part of Detroit. It does exist.
Yes, we call it downriver.
It is a direction. There is an East Franklin.
Okay, so anyway, he says, Nashville media is easily the worst. They can't and won't ever ask the tough questions. They ask such laziest, you mean they ask such lazy, and uninformed questions. Do better, especially the TV media. So part of my answer to him is, you're not accurate. Nashville media never asks tough questions. It's not even close to accurate. He says, oh, BS, this city's as soft as Charmin. They would rather ask what type of body wash a coach or player is using than ask you questions we care about. You're just a simp for your media friends. Look, man. We have
every,
like,
time we get into this conversation, we always ask.
I shouldn't even have read it.
Well, I'm just saying, every time we get into this conversation, it's always like, okay, so what will you have asked? And it's like, and most of the time when they list stuff out, it's either been asked or it's so stupid that it doesn't need to be asked. I'm not saying that, like, the Nashville media or any other media for that matter is anywhere near perfect, because look, there have been some press conferences that I've been a part of that in retrospect, questions that should have been asked probably didn't get asked, right? So I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but by and large, people complain about that when you ask them, okay, so what would you like to see it asked? They either don't know what they're talking about and it has been asked, or whatever they want to be asked is like, hey, so Brian, you're kind of a jackass, huh? What's that look like? Yeah, that's not going to happen in a press conference.
Why haven't you fired everyone?
Yeah. Like, it's just not going to happen at a
press
conference.
But again, like, if you're going to revert, you know, use examples of body wash, yeah, there's always dumb questions. I mean, when Levis had his Mayo day, we asked questions about Mayo. It's fun. Like, there are questions like that. I think for the most part, the questions about football are asked. For the most part, tough questions are asked. I've been here for a long time. The tough question, I can think of very few times when an obvious tough question, when Austin Watson happened, or when Mike Mularkey was about to be fired, or whatever, with Vrabel, who flipped out at people how many times because he got asked questions he didn't like. I mean, come on. Let's live in reality.
What are you doing with your hands, Joe?
I was right there. I was using my hands very much.
Were you asking a tough question when you were throwing your hands around at Vrabel?
I don't remember what the question was because he derailed it with the hands.
Why are you holding your hands like that?
I'm trying to get a question in here.
Well, then ask the question. Don't. No, I'm just saying, like, you look ridiculous.
See, again, the underrated part for me was, oh, you want me to put my hands down to ask a question, Mike? But nobody ever gives me credit for that.
He said no. You just look ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, his loud voice over to, but I thought that was a nice little dig back at him.
It was pretty good. Pretty good. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts to get you on the Titans. Plus, fall camp opening up for Tennessee. And an update on the Boo Carter situation from Josh Heupel yesterday. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Join 102.5 The Game at the Holiday Inn Nashville Airport this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. for the Dude Perfect-inspired open house. We'll be on-site giving away Dude Perfect tickets and Nashville Sounds family four-packs, plus games, prizes, and body armor. Again, that's coming up this Sunday from 1 to 5 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, taking your thoughts on the Titans at 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Gino asking about the running game this year. Says, has anybody asked about how the running backs look? A running game going to be crucial for a rookie quarterback. Run blocking? Do we have any? All I've heard is O-line, D-line, quarterbacks, and wide receivers. Well, the O-line is part of the run back. The run blocking. They do the run blocking.
That is true. Yeah, that is true. Yep. I guess he probably means pass blocking.
Yep.
Yeah, look, I think like Skronsky, Latham, Zeitler coming into the mix here. I think they've got a chance to be a pretty good run-blocking offensive line.
Pollard, right.
Pollard looks good to me. Yep. And I thought Spears. A couple times yesterday, I noticed Spears. I noticed a little bit of what people have been talking about with him. We'll see. You know, again, we'll see how that actually plays out on Sundays. But, yeah, I think that part of – I think the reason that people don't talk about it much is because it's one of the very, very few parts of this team that I feel that are solid, that aren't huge – concerns.
Yeah,
most of the rest of the team is a concern of certain level. DEFCON 5-1, one being the biggest concern.
Correct.
Bringing what is, up another rant.
What is the running game? Is it a DEFCON 5?
I don't even think it's a DEFCON at all.
No DEFCON at
I
all.
I think there's no DEFCON on the running.
No
game.
Designation.
Yeah, the running game is high T.
Good to know they've got some high T somewhere out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Good to know. Hey. Oh, man. But the videos are coming out as practice continues to go on. We'll keep you updated all show long on Titans training camp and the practices out there. Another camp opening today, Joe. The Tennessee Volunteers open up fall camp today, and they had their media day yesterday. Had a pretty long interview session with Joey Aguilar, new Tennessee quarterback yesterday, which I watched. I was impressed with him. I have no idea if he's going to be a good quarterback or not for Tennessee, but I thought he handled the press conference pretty well, so good to see that. Josh Heupel addressing the media yesterday with a couple important updates. Number one, there's no timetable on Jermaine McCoy right now. I didn't really expect Heupel to get up there and say, yeah, but Jermaine McCoy is going to be back in 3 weeks, so get ready for that. So not really a surprising statement from Heupel yesterday, but Jermaine McCoy – obviously an all-SEC, potential all-American type of corner for Tennessee. So we'll see when and if he becomes available early in the season. And then the Boo Carter situation, which we've talked a lot about over the last week. Boo Carter is in the facility. Josh Heupel confirmed yesterday he is on the roster. He will be a part of the team moving forward, but that there are some things that he's going to have to do to get back on the field and to be a part of this culture again. Now, their practice, I guess, is getting underway right now. And Ben McKee, friend of the show, put it out there that Boo Carter is stretching and he is out on the field dressed out. He is, according to Ben, not going to be a full participant in practice today, but that Boo Carter is dressed out going through stretches. So, you know, we were talking with Sparks yesterday, Joe, about wondering whether or not Boo Carter's going to be there or be in the building, and what's going to end up happening to that. Looks like he's on the team for now, and they have given him some benchmarks that he's going to have to hit to get back out there on the field.
Yeah, it's good to see him out there. Interesting stuff from Heupel yesterday talking about that. Some questions And it's also great, by the way, see our guy John Adams out at Media Day.
He was ready
to go. Beautiful thing. Some questions about Booze, you know, like, what, you know, will they be on offense? What does he have to do, et cetera, et cetera? I think one thing Heupel did make clear is that, like, the players are involved in this, and I think they should be. I think this is one of those things where if you want to talk about culture, what that, like, it's like, can coworkers, for lack of a better term, get along? Is there someone in the office who is such a distraction and a pain that even though this person is a high producer, it messes up, you know, the workflow for other people and things like that? I mean, I'm going to more and more make the comparison with you know, football teams and workplaces, because that's kind of what it is.
Yep.
And they'll be involved in that. And obviously they weren't happy about and they shouldn't be. If they're all going through a bunch of stuff and for whatever reason, there's different reasons that have been thrown around on the internet. I don't know what's true or what isn't with that, but if you're not taking part of that, then that's not cool. So, but the bottom line is he's there, so you figure that he's going to make amends and atone for whatever he didn't do, and the Vols need that badly because he's one of their top, I don't know, top what? 5-3 something most talented players?
Probably 3. I mean, in terms of just pure talent, I'd probably go some combination of him, McCoy, and Mike Matthews, and just in terms of just raw talent.
So,
not production, but talent.
Of a big deal.
Yeah.
Kind of a big deal. So, it could have been a lot different this week. And he MIA, and, you know, so that's a positive. And the QB stuff's interesting, too. I mean, I think they're making it seem like a competition. I believe it, though.
Oh, I think it is. Yeah, I think it's, and they had all three of the quarterbacks speak yesterday at the media thing. So it wasn't like Aguilar got out there and then Merklinger and McIntyre didn't. They all three spoke yesterday at the media thing. So if I had to guess right now, I think Aguilar is probably leader in the clubhouse. I think he's going to end up starting. We'll see what happens on that front. The Boo Carter part of this. First off, Heupel addressed it in his opening statement. And then I thought he would probably just shut down everything after that. He didn't. I mean, he started talking about, like, you know, he didn't go into, like, super detail about it. He was like, you know, there's some things out there about the Boo Carter situation that are true and some that are not, and I'm not going to go into specific detail about that. I think I know what he's talking about there, and Sparks kind of put something out there last night. Like, I think at this point, reading between the lines, like, the stuff about Boo Carter not showing up and doing what he's supposed to do is probably pretty accurate. The stuff about, oh, my God, is he in legal trouble? Probably isn't. Like, yeah. Sparks put it out there that he has looked, and he's looked at police reports all over the place. There has been no crime committed by Boo Carter. So his name has not even appeared in any police report in any capacity. So
there's been rumors, too, about some sort of danger. Yeah. I don't – again, no idea. But that's an important thing to establish.
Yeah.
Because rumors can get rampant in situations like this. And sometimes,
especially at that place,
family members,
yep,
on social media platforms can make things worse.
Yeah, you know, Heupel talked about the chemistry, and, you know, he talked about, you know, how involved his, I think he called him the leadership council, is on the Boo Carter part of this. And he said, you know, each situation is different. There are sometimes, like, when you don't meet the standard of being where you're supposed to be, sometimes you get kicked off the team for it. And he did say, like, you know, they asked him about basically whether he was there and what his approach on the summer workouts is, like, because it's technically voluntary. And he's like, yeah, no, it's required. You need to be there. You need to be there with your teammates. So I didn't think he would go into any detail about that. He did. So I give credit to Heupel. Like, I've seen Heupel go through some press conferences where he just totally shuts everything down. And he at least talked about some of it yesterday.
You know, the interesting thing about that, too, is, like, I think that's one thing in this new era. Now that it's all clear, like, everybody's getting paid, the whole, like, oh, these are voluntary.
You better get out there. Yeah.
Like, we can stop with that charade, yeah, right? Like, for decades, it's not voluntary to be in there in the summer doing the workouts. Hell no, it is officially, but you know it's not voluntary. Now it's like, yeah, actually – yeah, they got to be there. It kind of reminds me of Danny Hurley. He's like, I coach my team way harder because I'm like, you see the money you're making to do this? Yeah, yeah. Man, you are going to run. You're actually going to run another sprint if you screw that defensive assignment up again. You're getting paid a ton of money. I'm here for it.
Yeah. Some comments from Heupel on the quarterback part of this yesterday, too, including one that I think is interesting, and I wonder if that affects kind of the timeline of what they're looking for here on the quarterback competition. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Vols in fall camp had their media day yesterday. Heupel asked about the quarterback competition, and Joe, he was essentially asked, hey, would you like to figure this out pretty quickly? Like, what's the kind of the timeline that you're looking for to name a starter and figure that out? And Heupel said, quote, absolutely. That gives the quarterback more time to build continuity, whatever it might be. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important for me, like I said, at media days, that somebody's got to go earn it, and it's not one throw, it's not one day, blah, blah, blah. I got into his Coach Speak answer after that. But, you know, he was like, yeah, I mean, I'd sure like to figure one out pretty quick. I wonder if it ends up playing out that way, and if it doesn't end up playing out that way, is that because the competition is just so tight and everybody's playing well, or nobody's separating themselves?
Yeah, Joey Halsley also had some interesting comments about that, obviously, and he basically said there's not a time frame. There's just a when does someone seize it situation. So, I mean, at this point, based on reading all the tea leaves, I'm not going to switch from my prediction, but I don't feel as good about it, about Merklinger just having those banked reps that are going to keep him slightly ahead of Aguilar. Aguilar?
Aguilar.
Aguilar.
Yep.
Why do I struggle with this? I don't know. But I don't feel
– Yamaliaba.
Yeah, yeah. I can do away with that until he takes the Big Ten by storm this year. But I don't feel as good about Merklinger starting as I did. But I also don't – I certainly don't discount the idea that Aguilar – good God.
You nailed it.
Could really struggle. You know, in camp, I mean, it's possible. Like you said, we were texting yesterday, and I saw some of his clips of his interviews. He seems very likable, like a dude who could definitely lead a football team. He's also a guy who had a pretty bad freaking year at Appalachian State last year.
Yep.
And that's why he was at UCLA, because he went to a place where they don't have a good football team. I guarantee you UCLA is paying a fraction of what USC is paying. And so, look, it's still a move up for him and an opportunity, but – this much bigger opportunity only happens because of all the weird Nico stuff. So, obviously, the concern is, so no one's going to be great, and then you just have to pick someone. I also still feel good about the prediction that we're going to see multiple starting quarterbacks for Tennessee this year.
I can see that. And we're not even talking injury about that. Like, it just could be the way the flow goes out there.
You know, that media day.
Which doesn't sound great, by the way.
No. Like that media day you mentioned, they had all three of them available, which is good. I love that Tennessee does this. Not every college team does this. Credit to them. It reminds me of media day 4 years ago, right, when we had Hendon Hooker out there.
Oh, yeah.
We had Joe Milton out there. We had Harrison Bailey out there. Yeah. We had – I think we had five guys. Who were the other guys?
I'm trying to remember who was still there.
Well, oh, geez. Your young brain needs to
– I know. Well, they've had so many people go in and
out
of there.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was like the guy who played the year before and actually 2 years earlier.
Brian Maurer?
Brian Maurer was definitely one of those guys. And I think there was one more. Maybe it was just four. But anyway, it made me think back to that. And you think back to that whole thing. Obviously, I mean, Hendon Hooker was beyond an afterthought at that point, right? Yeah. It was like, Pruitt brought him in, and this guy, why didn't he just transfer out when they brought in Milton? Milton dominated practice, clearly. And then we saw what happened. Hendon Hooker was just way better than Joe Milton. Like, Hendon Hooker. And so you just – look, man, maybe George McIntyre, through all this, just keeps getting better and better and better. And it's like, look, you're going to have maybe some more mistakes. I mean, I don't think that's going to happen. But I'm just saying, I would keep an open mind as a Vols fan. This could go a lot of ways.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Bill in East Nashville. Bill, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
I appreciate it, guys. I saw two guys at the Titans practice the other day. I was surprised to see.
Who's that?
Doug Flutie and Frank Thomas.
Really?
Yep. Get it? The nice. Low-T bit.
Nice.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Nice. She'll like it, too.
That was good.
Oh, he got us.
I totally did not connect until he said that there, but now I can see that commercial in my head. Good stuff there.
Well done. Well done.
You gonna make some low-T Titans t-shirts?
Is it like...
Like the opposite of the Ran Carthon T hat.
Just put yeah. low.
Oh, hey, just there put, we go. Lowercase t.
Oh, well, right. A little tiny one. Oh,
yeah. A little tiny t.
A little tiny t in the middle. We could do a lot with this. I mean, I feel like DJ Burnside right now is cooking something up. Like, right? Like, this is, to his point earlier, dumb jokes galore. Ethan says Caden Salter. No, Caden Salter hadn't gotten there yet. It was not Caden Salter.
He's been in college for 12 years. How long Caden Salter been there?
I mean, I don't think he'd been. He was not there in 21, right? I think Caden Salter got there in 22.
I think he may have been there in 21.
Okay, now I need to just once and for all, just look at the Tennessee Vols.
Yeah, he got kicked off the team in June of 2021.
Oh, okay. So he had already been booted. Okay, at least so I was half right. He definitely wasn't there at media day.
Yeah.
But
that just shows you how long he's been in college, because I believe he is maybe going to be the starting quarterback for Colorado this year.
Yeah, which is interesting. And I don't know if it's a terribly exciting for Colorado fans. That might get a little rough. Okay, so, yeah, Hooker, Milton. Wait, what? I guess those guys – I'm looking at the 21 roster, and those guys were already off. So, Harrison Bailey – I'm completely twisted my brain.
Well, Bailey was in 2020 with Garantano.
Right, but he was still around in 21, going into 21, right? Am I crazy?
I think you may be.
Holy cow.
No, he had stats for 21.
And yet I'm looking at this roster and he's not even listed on the roster. This is the official UT. This must be end of the season. Did he transfer mid-year?
I don't know.
Maybe?
He's 3 of 7 on the season.
I don't know. I know he's getting some reps right now at Florida. He's the backup at Florida right now.
Hooker,
DJ Lagway.
Milton,
he may have to play early.
Bailey and Gaston Moore?
Yeah, Gaston Moore. Yeah, that's the guy from UCF, the walk-on who
Gaspipe.
That's right, Gaspipe, baby. Yeah, Harrison Bailey. How about that? DJ Lagway, that is one of the early stories in college football. He can't stay healthy. There's a huge amount of excitement, buzz, pressure, and he is banged up again. He had a shoulder. Now, is it a hammy now?
Yep.
So, you know, he'll probably be fine, but that stuff can linger. So Harrison, we may see some Harrison Bailey
versus the Vols. Way later in the year.
So. At that point, who knows? But we may see some Harrison Bailey quarterbacking some Gators at some point this year.
By the way, he transferred in October of 2021.
Okay, so there you go. So yep. So he was at media day. I'm not crazy. Maher was at media day.
Yeah.
Hooker, Milton. I do think there was somebody else. The other guy who also transferred out. Yes, Devin from Dover, you've done it. JT Shrout. Yes.
JT Shrout.
There we go. Those are the five guys. Think about that at that media day.
Good Lord.
JT Shrout. Man, that's a huge pull, Devin from Dover. I owe you big time.
Isn't JT Shrout at Arkansas State with Butch now? Or he was at Arkansas State.
Yeah,
I don't even know if he's still in college.
It kind of makes it fun, right? Like you can do a lot of trivia.
You can.
Are we going to do – we got to play that game again this year.
We do. Where is this quarterback now?
Where is this quarterback now? That's right. That'll get the tee up.
That's gonna do it for us today on the program. Jason Big Joe is up next. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.